Why don't we start, Representative Anderson, I think you've got a grazing amendment, if I'm not mistaken. Representative Anderson.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. Yes, it's the A-53 amendment, Prairie and Grassland Public Grazing Program.
Members, it's going to be passed out. Representative Anderson, you can explain the A-53 and then pages if you'll get copies to the.
And there's also going to be an oral amendment, Mr. Chair, but to the amendment, this is something we've worked out with the DNR to encourage a program that seems to be a win-win situation for the department, for livestock people, and it will encourage a program to graze livestock on some of these public lands, DNR lands, that would help them in maintenance and also help our livestock people find areas to graze some of their livestock on.
Representative Anderson, do you want to explain your oral amendment?
Mr. Chair, the oral amendment begins on page or on line 8, 1.8, and after the and we would strike the word including and then strike all of lines 1.9, 1.10, and through grazing program on line 111. And I guess also strike the comma after habitat on line 1.8.
Representative Anderson moves on line 1.8 of the A-53 amendment to delete the comma after habitat, delete the word including, delete line 1.9 and 1.10 in their entirety, and to delete the first two words on line 1.11, grazing program. To the Anderson oral amendment. Discussion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed, nay. The Anderson amendment is adopted. I'm sorry, you know what? I did that wrong, Representative Anderson. We just did your oral amendment. We didn't clarify. That was the oral part of Representative Anderson's amendment. Now to the modified Anderson amendment. Discussion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed, nay. The amendment's adopted as modified. Mr. Knopf and Ms. Taylor get the modifications of that amendment? Yes, okay. Next we have Representative Torkelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We have the A-52 amendment, which I have copies of.
Who's next?
I'll explain the amendment as it's being passed out. The A-52 amendment has to do with the service provider program for training service providers that work with our docks and boat lifts, et cetera. DNR has a sticker that they will issue free of charge to those that have received this service trainer program. The sticker will be put in the windshield of their vehicles in the lower, extreme lower corner of the driver's windshield. Needs to be added to the bill.
Discussion. Mr. Meyer. And Mr. Meyer, is this going to be just effective with the bill, or do you have a special effective date? Can someone, the page is bringing you, Mr. Meyer, apologize. Some of these amendments are just getting passed out, folks.
To Chair members, I apologize myself. This is language that I needed to get into this bill previously, and I was not able to do that as we were moving forward.
Mr. Meyer, excuse me. I don't think you identified.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Chair. Bob Meyer, Department of Natural Resources. On the effective date, if we could do this upon enactment, Mr. Chairman.
Okay.
What this is,
so noted.
It's a small little sticker about yay big that we want the trained service providers to be putting in their windshield in the lower corner so that we can ensure that when somebody is doing those activities, they have been trained. It just provides us with that authority.
Mr. Meyer, I'm wondering if you'd be okay if we just left the normal enactment date, because just as though they're sure they get the sticker in time. Mr. Meyer, just a quick question. This will comply with MnDOT requirements about windshields and where stickers are and such.
Mr. Chairman, yes, sir. Yes. And we are comfortable with that effective date. Thank you.
Let's just leave it effective of the bill. Representative Deal.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm just wondering, if we have a vehicle that has a sticker in it, maybe we should tattoo the service provider himself, because what if he's on his way to work and he needs to stop and put a dock in, but he's not in a vehicle that has a sticker on it? That might mean he might have to drive 40, 50, 100 miles to get to work. My wife drives 100 miles round trip a day to go to teach school. I mean, what we're doing is we're putting a sticker on the vehicle, not the service provider. The service provider is assuming it's the company, but it might be an individual who was hired yesterday and he can't get to a truck, or the owner of the company doesn't have a truck. I'm sure, Representative McNamara, in your business, you've got to the point where you didn't have trucks for delivering the millions of trees that you've delivered over your course of your career.
Thank you, Representative Dill. Mr. Meyer, a couple things along Representative Dill's questions. Would they display the sticker on the lake providers that go by boat? You know, they may be on a chain of lakes for a whole week. Would you display this sticker? Would you be allowed to display this sticker near their boat sticker? Or how could that conceivably work in regards to that? And then what about, Mr. Meyer, don't these... the provider owners, do they have a card in their wallet? And then do the different employees that take the online course, do they have to carry any kind of acknowledgement of that? So to Representative Dill's point, if they weren't in a vehicle, if they rode their bicycle to do their lawn sprinkling maintenance work, conceivably, would their card that they carry work?
Mr. Chairman, yes, these service providers will have credentials that will be given to them. The intent of this amendment is just to get around other pieces of law that require deal with stickers on windshields to give us the authority. Otherwise, we need to work with the Department of Public Safety and receive an exemption from them. This is just a lot cleaner way to do this. The boat piece we can work on separately.
Okay, so thank you, Mr. Meyer. This is just so you have the authority to put that sticker, and it's your intention to have them use that sticker, so if a vehicle, if the CO drives down the road and sees them working, he'll know it's somebody that's had the class. He's nodding yes. Representative Deal.
Well, I don't know if it gets me there, but Meyer is always convincing.
Senator Engel.
Representative McNamara.
Representative Deal.
On Lake Vermilion, they got these huge barges that put the dock on the barge, because they take it back to a central marina in the winter. And so now the barge is going down the lake, and it doesn't have a sticker on it.
Unfortunately, Representative Dill, I think I just gave the DNR the idea to start putting the stickers on the barges, too. Okay. So I got a feeling that'll be next year. Senator Engelbretson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Meyer, are these window stickers transferable from one vehicle to another?
Mr. Chairman. Members, they aren't, but we will make sure that the service providers have efficient decals for their work fleets that they need.
Senator Ingebrigtsen. You're good?
I'm good, thanks.
Okay.
Mr. Chair.
To the, I'm sorry, Senator.
Mr. Meyer, I'm curious, is there also a card that they can carry in their wallet if they take a different vehicle that day, or is this the only sticker that's going to be available, the only documentation?
Mr. Chairman, Meyer. Senator DeCryf, we're working with the credentials. Once they do take the class and the training, that they receive a certificate, some type of card. So we'll make sure that they have that to carry with them as well.
Senator DeCryf, he's good. Okay. To the, was it Representative Torkelson amendment? Further discussion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, nay. The amendment's adopted. Next members, sorry for the delay there, but part of it was to get confirmation on the administration on a couple of provisions. I'd like to move an oral amendment and have Ms. Taylor back to my original amendment. I'll start. It's on page 5, section 2, deals with the shutdown, part of the shutdown. And then, Ms. Taylor, there was a second part of that also.
Mr. Chair, members, there's three provisions that are shutdown related in the bill, section 2, section 3 on that same page, and then there's one other one that's a similar language to section 2 but only applies to PCA. We'll have to find that quick.
Okay.
49, page 49.
Mr. Chair, and that would be on page 49, section 74, and then the rest of it continues on page 50.
Section 74.
Section 74.
Members, I'd like to move an oral amendment to delete sections 2 and 3 on page 5 and 6, and also delete section 74 on page 49, and it continues on the top of page 50. Senator Gazelka.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm wondering if we can take one at a time rather than all three together.
We can do that. Senator Gazelka, can I move the first two together, or you'd rather have them separate also?
If I could, okay. I'd for sure.
I'll move to delete section 2 on page 5. Discussion to that. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed, nay. That oral amendment is adopted. Next, I'd like to move section 3 to delete that section, page 5 and page 6. Discussion. Representative Senator Gazelle.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. That is my language. This is the ability to buy a fishing license during shutdown. I think you're all aware that it's in our Constitution, the right to hunt and fish. I can speak for my particular area. We lost untold millions of dollars for the resorts simply because they couldn't go to a local bait shop, a gas station, and buy a fishing license. In the end, our local DNR, and I think the same thing was true farther north, wanted to accommodate the people, and yet they were told they could not. We know that in addition to the DNR losing more than $2 million, the tourism industry lost untold millions of dollars. And so I would like to see this in. I would oppose taking that out. I think it's critical for our tourism industry.
Thank you, Senator Gazelka. Representative Deal.
Well, I won't thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm not going to repeat everything that Senator Gazelka said, but I have some of the highest flying, most notable state parks and fishing areas, the Boundary Waters Canoe Area Wilderness, Voyageurs National Park, Lake Vermilion, not to diminish Leech Lake and all Winnie and all those. But I mean, Cook County has 80% of all of the revenue that the people in Cook County receive in their lifetime comes from tourism, 80%. And in the Constitution, thanks to Senator Lessard and many others, we have the constitutional right to hunt and fish. And I don't support any autopilot provision. I've never supported any autopilot provision, and that's what I've heard it called, except this one. And I'll be voting no.
Additional discussion. All those in favor of the oral amendment say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, nay.
Nay.
The amendment's adopted. Next, members, on page 49, I'll move the deletion of section 74. Yes, Senator Gazelka.
Division.
Division's been called. All those in favor of deleting section 3, raise your hand. Opposed? The motion does not prevail. Next, on page section 74, I'll move to delete section 74 on page 49 and page 50. Discussion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, nay. The amendment's adopted. Next, members, we have Senator Engelbert.
I would like to offer an amendment. Mr. Knopf has the verbiage. I don't think it has a number.
Oh, we do have it. No.
We'll get them to the public, too. So, public, if you don't get it quick enough or you're wondering, don't be afraid to jump up and raise your hand or come to the testifying table.
Okay, sure.
Senator Engelbertson.
I'd like to offer the A7 amendment.
Senator Engelbertson, why don't you explain it while it gets passed out?
Mr. Chair, this is an agreement that's been going on for some time here. It talks about I'll defer to Mr. Knopf. As he has been working with the parties involved.
Mr. Knopf.
Mr. Chair, I'll just explain it briefly. Basically, what this does is by August 1, the PCAs has to prepare the report. They give the public 30 days to review and comment on the report. And then by October 1, they have to basically report to the chairs and ranking minority members of the Senate and House of Representatives. And the report will include the comments and responses. They will become part of the report after the comments and responses are heard. And there's also further on 1.11, it says the agency may not require compliance with Minnesota Statutes 473-848, that's the processing of metropolitan waste, before February 15th, 2013.
Thank you. Discussion to the A7 amendment. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, nay.
Nay.
The amendment's adopted. Mr. Knopf.
Mr. Chair, there's an oral amendment to the House provision on the EAWs, and that can be found on it's on page 54. It's section 79 on the House side, correct, on the House side, on the bill. It was a House provision. And what it would be is there was some concern about this conflicting with the environmental review requirements. So before the capitalized the on 54.20, you would insert to the extent practicable and so as not to conflict with other requirements of this section.
Mr. Knopf, will you repeat it one more time?
Sure. Mr. Chair, up to its, on 54.20, before the board, insert to the extent practicable and so as not to conflict with other requirements of this section, comma, and then it would go into the language that was carried in here by the House. The board shall not require unless necessary information on environmental assessment worksheets. So it's to make sure they don't conflict.
Senator Engelbertson moves the oral amendment as stated by Mr. Knopf. Discussion. Discussion to the Engelbertson oral amendment. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, nay. Engelbertson oral amendment is adopted. Next, we have a technical amendment that I'll move, and Ms. Taylor will explain it.
Mr. Chair, members, it's just a technical on page 43, line 43.2. We need a date certain for this report, and so I would move after December, or someone can move after December 31, comma, and this is the date we checked with the PCA, and that's what they were comfortable with.
I'll move that oral amendment. Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, nay. The amendment's adopted. Representative Torkelson, I believe you have a technical amendment.
Thank you. On page 32 of the bill, I have three changes. I think we can do them all orally. First, on line 32.5, after the word and, we would insert the two words consistent with. So that line would read, and consistent with a memorandum of understanding. Then on line 32.19, we would reinsert the deleted language. And also on 32.22, we would reinsert the deleted language.
Mr. Chair, there are some other places where that occurs. Did you not want to reinsert all of the stricken language dealing with the 11-county metropolitan area?
It was not brought to my attention, Mr. Knopf.
Well, Mr. Chair, on 32.22, we have the same except within the 11-county metropolitan area.
I did just mention
mm-hmm.
that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I thought there was – I didn't hear that one. I'm sorry. So you got three of them there, right?
No, I have two.
Well, it should 19. Be 32.15, 32.18,
oh, I didn't.
And 19, and 32.15.
I did not have 32.15 on my list, but that deals with the shoreland wetland protection zone, and that's not what we are paying attention to here. It's the 11-county metro area.
Mr. Knopf.
And then, Mr. Chair, I didn't know if you wanted to. One of the things that in both bills, and we didn't reinstate it on page 33. We actually define this area to make it clear.
What line, Mr. Knopf?
3320 to 3322. And I think that that should probably be reinstated to make it clear which counties are in the 11-county area.
I'd be fine with that, Mr. Chair. I'd add that to my oral amendment.
Okay. Representative Torkelson, explain your oral amendment.
Once again, going back to the top of page 32, on line 32.5, after the word and, insert the two words consistent with. On line 32.19, reinstate the stricken language. On lines 30, on line 32.22, reinstate the stricken language. And finally, on reinsert the stricken language on page 33, lines 33.20 through
33.22. Mr. Chair?
Mr. Knopf.
Mr. Chair, there, just a technical on that. People have been talking to me about this section 44 in here, and apparently with the new language now in here as opposed to what the Senate carried in where they will be able to track these, the board doesn't feel like they need that exemption condition provision, so I think you could strike section 44 as a part of that amendment. Just trying to get it all taken care of at once here.
Section 44, you said?
Yes.
So there's some changes to section 44 that were suggested, so we don't need any of the section. Is that what you're
Mr. Chair,
Mr. Knopf,
any of the changes in the section. The section will still remain in law. It's just that we would delete it from the bill. And the reason the Senate had an evidence documenting compliance was because the way the Senate language was worded, it was if they were under swamp buster, they were already exempt. And this was to allow them to find out, to get information if they couldn't get it from the feds. And since now you're going to have it as part of an agreement, the staff from the board feel like that's not necessary anymore.
Thank you. I would be happy to add. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd be happy to add that to my oral amendment. So we would, in addition to the changes I listed earlier, we would also eliminate the changes that are made on lines 34.10 through 34.12, which then we no longer require section 44 to be part of the bill.
Okay. Mr. Eloff, did you have a different question?
Yes, Mr. Chair, the language that Mr. Knopf reinstated on lines 3320 to 22 defining the 11-county metro area apply only to, as it says on line 33.20, this paragraph, meaning paragraph D. It would not apply to the changes made on page 32 unless we make it so.
Representative Torkelson, at some point I'm going to have Ms. Blackburn from the Bowser come up. Would this be the appropriate time now?
Well,
Representative Torkelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think the 11-county metropolitan area is clearly defined in other places in state statute, if I'm not mistaken.
Well,
Mr. Knopf.
Mr. Chair and Senator, Representative Torkelson, I'm not sure that, it's not defined for this area of the law. And to be clear, it's probably clear. I think to take care of Mr. Eliff's concerns on 33.20, you would reinstate everything except leave paragraph stricken and insert subdivision. So then it would be clear that throughout the subdivision, whenever it's used, that's the term.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Torkelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would, in the reinstated language on line 33.20, strike the word paragraph and insert subdivision.
Thank you.
We are now improving on previously written law.
Yes. And Representative Torkelson, any additional work on that? And then I would like to bring Ms. Blackburn up. Or do you want to adopt your amendment? Representative Torkelson.
I think we're ready to adopt my amendment, Mr.
Okay.
Chair.
To the Torkelson Amendment, further discussion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, nay. The Torkelson Oral Amendment is adopted. Ms. Blackburn, why don't you come up now, and if you could walk through the wetland things, that would be good. Please identify yourself for the record.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Julie Blackburn. I'm Assistant Director for the Minnesota Board of Water and Soil Resources.
And just to give you a bit of a walkthrough on the Wetland Conservation Act, WACA provisions in this bill. The WACA provisions start on page 27, section 41, but the actual change doesn't start, the language change doesn't start until page 28. And this is about deed restrictions for replacing wetlands on ag land. And the change under this section eliminates the mandatory deed restriction, but it does allow for the deed restriction to be put in place if the local unit of government determines that this wetland area, the land use in that area, is at risk of conversion from ag land use based on zoning classification. So the deed restriction then becomes up to the local unit of government to impose if they feel the land is at risk to conversion. The next change is Section 42, and Section 42 is dealing with swamp buster and ag exemptions. There are many different exemptions under the Wetland Conservation Act. This one is specifically about ag and dealing with swamp buster. So the change is actually on top of page 32. This allows for the exemption. It just clarifies the exemption for ag activities under swamp buster provisions, which are part of the federal farm bill. The federal farm bill, it's actually kind of almost a misnomer to call it swamp buster. You are not allowed to drain any wetlands under the swamp buster provisions of the federal farm bill, or you will be kicked out of the federal farm bill commodity payments and other types of programs. So it's actually a protection effort, the swamp buster is. If you're consistent with that, you are consistent with the state law under this new language that there is there about the memorandum of understanding that we have been working on with the NRCS. One of the problems that's happened in the past is that producers find that they're consistent with one swamp buster provision and maybe not consistent with the Wetland Conservation Act. It doesn't happen very often, but this allows us to streamline and work together to make sure that all of the changes are basically allowed under both programs. Section 43 are de minimis changes, and for the most part, at this time, the de minimis changes are really a reorganization of de minimis. So the way that it is, it basically starts right, Section A is really looking at any de minimis exemptions, and just for the record, de minimis is all of the other exemptions are towards some kind of an activity like forestry activity, ag activity. If you're doing something under utilities or the Clean Water Act, de minimis is kind of that anything undefined of any specific or particular activity. So under A, it's anything under the outside of the shoreline wetland or the shoreline wetland protection zone. Section B is within the shoreline wetland protection zone, but beyond the building setback zone. And then Section 3 is within the building setback zone of the shoreline protection zone. And so that's kind of how it's broken down. The way that it's reorganized, the de minimis exemptions remain the same, except for all but two provisions, and that happens to be with a Type 7 wetland, a wooded wetland, in the less than 50% area of the state. The less than 50% area of the state means that there are less than 50% of the wetlands remaining that were there pre-settlement. So it's basically reorganized. All of the exemptions remain in place except for Type 7 in the less than 50% area. And the metropolitan area is kept in with its own particular de minimis requirements. On the top of page 34 is Section 44. That one's just been deleted. Section 45 on page 34 is a program called the In-Lieu Fee Program. This is another alternative to the wetland banking program that we currently have. Through the Corps of Engineers, they're actually working more towards an in-lieu fee program. It is the preferred route for doing wetland replacement right now. We don't really have the authority to do that, so this allows us to do it. It's just another alternative. And what it will really provide for is for certain types of banking programs, like if there was a private banking program for ag wetland replacement, They would be able to provide us with a surety bond, and we maintain a bank through a surety bond. And so it's just a little, it provides a little bit more flexibility, a little bit more opportunity. We think we can probably get better wetland restorations through having a more systemized process for doing the ag banking replacements. And then on the top of page 35, section 46, excuse me, is the assumption of section 44 of the Federal Clean Water Act. And it just allows for some partial adoption if possible. When you're going through the wetland banking program, you have to get approval of credits, wetland credits, through both the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers and Bowser through the Wetland Conservation Act and the local units of government. So what this is going to do is it would provide a pathway for us to try to simplify that. If you're approved by one, you're approved by the other. So it kind of lays the foundation for simplifying the regulatory process. So that's a summary of the Wetland Conservation Act provisions that are outlined in this bill.
Representative Dill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ms. Blackburn, did I hear you say that on page 34, section 44 has been deleted from the bill? Did I hear you say that?
Wasn't that part of the oral amendment? I'm sorry, Mr. Chair.
Amendment? Okay, yeah. So that takes care of what my question. It was in the Torkelson oral amendment. Okay.
Additional questions. Thank you, Ms. Blackburn.
Thank you.
I've got a Representative Hackbart oral amendment, and we've got to retrieve Representative Hackbart. Representative Hackbart, I believe you have an amendment.
Yes, Mr. Chair, it's the
Representative Hackbart, can you pull your mic up?
The AA amendment.
The pages, do we have copies?
Yep. Well, Mr. Chairman, I'm going to explain the amendment while it's being passed out. There was some language that was left out of the legacy bill. I don't know how, I wasn't there, so I can't tell you what actually happened, but it did not get included. This is not that language. The DNR has asked for some more flexible language than what I had in the bill that inadvertently got left out, and I agreed to put this in, and I hope you can vote for it. It has to do with the electric fish barriers, $7.5 million that we had in the legacy bill, and asking them how to spend the money.
Thank you, Representative Hackbart. Senator Engelbert.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Representative Hackbart, for bringing this forward. I certainly share your concerns with regards to the amount of work that this body has done over the last 2 years with Asian carp, and yourself, I know, have been specifically, in fact, I sat with you with a couple of vendors a couple of different times, so I know your interest in that, and I certainly understand the wanting to know what's going on. We've got not only money invested in this, but we've got a lot of our own time invested in this, and we outdoorsmen and women are care about what's happening, and we want to be part of the process, and this gives us a little bit of an opportunity to be part of that process and picking out what's something that we've been working on for so long. So I would support this amendment as well. Thank you.
A discussion to the A8. All those in favor of the A8 say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. The A8's adopted. Anything else? Any members have anything else to the bill? Members, we're going to have a short recess. Excuse me. Yep, we got it. Members, we're going to have a short recess just here for a couple minutes. We're in recess.